Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, as we do every Thursday morning, plus Bobby Curran with a little bit of sports thrown in. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. And there's lots of sports, actually.
Not just a little bit. I feel very weird today because, as you know, you bought me a new headset, a headset mic, which I absolutely love. I've never had one of these before. And it's so weird because I can, like, talk to you and see you instead of, like, having a mic attached somewhere else where I'm actually with my back to you.
Headset mics are the answer. They're really great.
They don't know when you're just listening on the radio, you don't actually know what's going on behind. But most of the time, I'm not actually looking at you when we're talking. I'm just like looking at my computer. But now I'm looking at you, so it's quite different. Yes, so a lot going on in sports. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think for one thing.
That's my way of saying what?
The NFL starting to heat up with the trades and the quarterback carousel. And a big one this morning with Carson Wentz traded from the Eagles to the Colts. And that's kind of big news for people who care about such.
Which we all do, of course.
Yeah, right. And, yes. And then, of course, Hawaii's basketball team on the road at CSUN for a couple games. We'll have John Montgomery, the assistant coach who's got the scout for CSUN, on with us tomorrow morning. So,
oh, cool.
Exciting stuff.
Cool. And then that's almost it, right? So they come home next weekend, play next weekend basketball, and that's...
It's home next week against Long Beach State, then back on the road to UC Davis, then that two-game series will wind up the regular season. They'll go right then to Las Vegas for the tournament.
For the tournament, wow. And then that means it's March. We can judge...
March Madness coming.
Right, we can judge the seasons by the sports and what's happening, and that means it's been a year since lockdown because it was St. Patrick's Day...
During
the tournament, where everyone started to get kind of serious about, oh, my gosh, this is coming. And I remember Don Murphy and Marion sent out an email, a text, you know, everything saying for the first time in, you know, 30 years, we're not going to be hosting St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't seem safe. And even on that day, people were still saying, oh, maybe it would be okay, maybe not. But they were definite, nope, we're not doing it. Thank goodness they
didn't.
But
they did an amazing, as you remember, because we worked it, the takeout.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because they're doing it again.
Again this year, and I have already donated my services.
Well, did they want you?
Well, they're pretending. They're pretending they do.
Okay, I'm sure they'll find something for you to do. Yes, they're doing it again. So St. Patrick's Day is going to be just as big as you want it to be. I mean, obviously no street party, but you can do a couple of things now. You can go to Murphy's and do in-dining room dining. So there'll be two or three seatings throughout the day, obviously socially distanced. So you can do that. If you're one of the people who just always goes to Murphy's on St. Patrick's Day, you will be able to do that. I would say you should call them immediately to make a reservation for your St. Patrick's Day lunch, dinner. And then there will be a very efficient, very extensive takeout operation where you can come and pick up your St. Patrick's Day dinner, which I actually think a lot of people are going to do. Now, you might disagree with me, but I think because we've had a year of picking up food from restaurants and getting used to bringing home really delicious food, I think a lot more people are going to do that on St. Patrick's Day. Say, of course we're going to have an Irish dinner.
I think you're right, and if you remember from last year, we got that down. We were part of it. But the takeout thing.
It's nice that you're so.
It was, well, it was like a machine.
It
got really well where people could just drive by, boom, their order was out to the curb, and it was pick up, open your door, get it, gone. It was great.
But don't you think we are much more used to doing
now?
And I think for a lot of people, even people who perhaps don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day in the way that most Americans do, you know, going out to large venues and gatherings, even people who don't will this year be able to say, let's have an Irish dinner. St. Patrick's Day, let's get corned beef and cabbage or, you know, some of the Marion's pies. And, You know what? I wanted to sort of give a shout out this week to all. I've been spending a lot of time with people who are behind the scenes in kitchens. Thinking about Marion Murphy's pies made me think of that. You know, it's been a year, Bobby, of people in restaurants just working harder than they've ever worked, even though there hasn't been as much going on. The mental energy that it's taken for people behind the scenes to keep their jobs going, those of them that have had their jobs, and for the other ones to have to try and pivot and change and do different things, I think all of them really need a huge shout out of our thanks and appreciation, because every single day there are people just getting up and going into their jobs and trying to keep it all together. And this week it's been more poignant for me because I've been talking to a lot of chefs. As you know, I'm at Chef Zone every week, so I see a ton of our industry leaders and so many chefs coming in and out. And a lot of them are just giving up. It's like, nope, we're done. I spoke to one quite well-known chef who has been on our show several times, and we really like him. And he said to me the other day, I'm done. I'm going into day trading.
Really?
And he was completely serious. And I wish him the best of luck. But I think it just shows you what a year of this has done to the mindset of someone who was a devoted chef and small restaurant owner. Just giving up. He said, nope, I can't do it. A minute longer is too stressful. I'm going into day trading, which I think is not stressful.
Right. Is someone going to say, how stressful do you think his year was if he's going to try to relax by going into day trading? My God of heaven.
So that and a few other things that happened and a few people I was talking to this week made me really appreciate the people who have stayed open and who are just there every single day, that so we can rely on them for our, you know, takeout and delivery. So, you know, if you're really tired, because we're getting to the sort of the end, right? The last mile is the longest, of course, and we can see light at the end of the tunnel, I hope, and we hope that we're going to get these restaurants open and these businesses back. If someone can give me a good reason why they shouldn't all be open right now, then I would like to hear it. I almost mentioned some names there of politicians, but we shan't do that. We need it. We need to get open. We need the restaurants to get back, because after a year, they are starting to give up. They've got, like, a post-traumatic stress syndrome. They're really fatigued and tired, and we've got to open up. So that's my rant of the morning.
You know my feeling about this is I get that we had to. I think for a while you had to shut it down.
Of course.
I think there was certain things, but I do think the numbers now in Hawaii indicate that before we strangle more people permanently,
yep,
let's get going. Let's roll.
Yeah, because the chefs who are leaving, they're not coming back. You don't close down a restaurant and then 6 months later open it up or a year later open it up. One chef who we know extremely well, we were talking to, and for him to open up his restaurant dining room fully after being closed down, it was a $40,000 operation just to get everybody back and the payroll started and the whole thing, just to open the doors to get things done. So no, once these guys go, the guys who are going day trading, the guys who are just completely giving up, they're not coming back. We're never again getting, and as they go, their food goes with them. This particular chef I'm thinking of has a very specific style of cooking. He is a fisherman. He does a lot of beautiful fresh island fish. It will go. Everything he does will go. That's
a really sad thing, isn't it?
Yes, it's really, really sad. And that's why I just feel so passionately and so strongly that we have got to get them fully open so they can open their dining rooms, they can open the streets, they can, you know, have people sitting outside and feeling comfortable. I think a really wonderful example of a restaurant that has been given outdoor seating and is thriving is the restaurant Istanbul in Kaka'ako. With full disclosure, we were very fortunate to be able to find them their restaurant space. Ahu Hetma and her family have opened there, and they've been open now for maybe 7 or 8 months or what have you. So they opened in the pandemic, so they opened in June. But they were given outdoor seating fronting their restaurant that they have been able to utilize. They are jamming for lunch and dinner.
That's so great.
It's so great. So that's what we need to do. The restaurant owners are capable of creating fantastic business. They just need all the help they can get. And that means they need to be able to open their doors and have people come back.
Yep. I think it's soon. I think it's going to be safe to do that increasingly. I mean, it's all good news on the vaccine front. I'm looking at the – I look at the numbers every day on the front page of the Star Advertiser. And
it's good. Know,
we're talking about a 1.2 positivity rate.
Yep, it's time to get
it's
open.
It's time. Let's go.
And I'm sure everybody feels the same. I mean, yep. I don't think there's – and anybody who doesn't, they can just stay home. It's okay. If you don't feel it's time to open up restaurants, just stay home and keep ordering takeout, and you're fine. So let's go.
Let's go indeed.
We're going to have some good conversation today about restaurants that are open, newly opened restaurants specifically. And boy, I tell you, there's a couple of really creative new restaurants that have opened slash are about to open. Thomas O'Bungan from Frolic and from Slug Media is going to join us to talk about some of his food finds over the past month or so. We like to check in with Thomas every few weeks to find out what he's doing, because he really does eat more than anybody I know. And he won't mind me saying that, because it's all in a great cause. And there's a couple of new places that are really hitting the mark. And I've heard people talking about one of them in particular. So we're going to chat with him. So stay with us for that. If you want to know some of the hottest new spots, and one of them you're going to absolutely love, I can guarantee it. Stay with us for Thomas joining us. And then after that, I'm so happy to say that one of my oldest chef friends, and this time I don't mind saying how long I've been friends with him, it's more than 20 years, Chef Hardy, Chef Eberhard Kincher from Michelle's, is going to join us to talk about how things are at Michelle's. Because through all of this, you know, we've always said the fine dining restaurants have had an extremely difficult time reopening.
Maybe the toughest.
I think the toughest. And Michelle's are open. They're open for dinner. They're doing takeout. You can order just Hardy's beautiful food. So we're going to talk to him about, you know, how they've weathered the storm and who's back at Michelle's. And I just think his whole dining takeout thing is really extraordinary. I mean, you could never do that before, order takeout from Michelle's.
No.
So all of that stuff is coming up, which I hope is going to be very good fun and very entertaining. And did we cover enough sports? We should probably circle back later and do more, do you think?
Well, we can. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, you'll like to know this, too. When you talk about people who struggle, you know who's not struggling this morning? The 22-year-old shortstop for the San Diego Padres. He signed a 14-year, $340 million contract, fully guaranteed yesterday.
I wonder where he's going for dinner to celebrate.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. He's pretty good, he's a really good player, but $340 million.
Is that unprecedented?
No, it's only the third highest baseball contract.
Okay, so what does that mean? Because he doesn't get $300 million dropped in his bank account, right? Does he get like $100 million for 3 years? Or, I mean, how does it work?
Well, he gets that. I think it's just right down the thing even. I think they said it's $28 or $29 million a year every year. For 14 years.
And that's not performance-based. It's not like in two years' time they could say, actually, you're rubbish.
Get this. If, let's say, he badly broke his ankle sliding and could never play
they
again,
have insurance.
He gets $340 million.
Whoa.
Well,
that's nice security, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I'm very glad for him. But, you know.
Was that surprising? Like, did you all see that coming?
No, I just kind of thought baseball was moving away from these really long-term contracts, because they've turn around and bit people sometimes. Like Albert Pujols got one of those. He's now kind of faded out. He's not really a marquee player, and he's still getting a marquee salary. So,
well, I would think it would be really hard to keep your motivation up. I mean, even if you're somebody who's immensely competitive, you've got to, the shine has got to come off a little
bit. Not for the top guys.
No?
Not like for Mike Trout, for example, who's probably the best baseball player in the game and who is the possessor of the law. He's got $426 million.
Uh-huh.
Over whatever it is, but he's one of those guys that is trying to figure out a way to get better every day. He just Michael Jordan or LeBron. I mean,
yeah,
the top guys.
I wouldn't
guys,
include them.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not?
Because they're really exceptional, and you know, they're the people that would bite your head off in a Scrabble game.
But are those, I mean, but that's what the top players in the world are. That's how they got to be that.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is, if you're getting that money, you're that caliber,
almost,
probably.
Almost
okay.
Because
I have to say, I pride myself on my Scottish Presbyterian work ethic and always have. And as you know, I'm an extremely hard worker. But if somebody handed me several million dollars, it wouldn't even have to be in the hundreds. I think you might start to slow down a little bit. Sleep in past 4 o'clock in the morning once in a while.
Well, that's, honey, you're a different sort altogether.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go for a break. We will come back with some of the hottest new restaurants in Honolulu. Stay with us. Thomas Obunga is going to join us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I hope you're all doing well on this Thursday morning. We are rapidly approaching March and a year since our restaurants were closed down. We were talking earlier about how some of the chefs are just really, they've had it. They're PTSD'd out and they're just closing up. But, of course, as is the nature of the restaurant industry, it is full of entrepreneurs and people who can't wait to open. So we are seeing a lot of creativity, a lot of new ideas on the scene, and some really exciting new restaurants that have opened and are about to open. Thomas Obungan is the man around town who eats more than anybody I know. And if you don't believe me, then you just have to follow him on Instagram to see what he gets up to daily in his delicious trails. He's taken a few minutes away to come to talk to us this morning. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good. You do. I'm not saying you eat vast quantities, but you are eating a lot on a daily basis, aren't you? A lot of different things.
It amazes me, too, where I end up and what I discover. It's pretty funny.
It's a wondrous journey. I remember when I was full-time food writing, a little bit like you, and people would sometimes say to me, well, how do you know about that? And how do you do that? And I would look at them and go, I'm in 6 restaurants every single day. It's really, of course you know what's going on. Hey, there's some really exciting new restaurants opening. What have you found and who do you like?
Yeah, so, I mean, ever since the turn of the new year, I think it's just like every week there's something new, beginning with Ely Ely Cash and Carry. It's a new pizza shop and sub shop on Baritania that's next to Mini Garden. It's kind of like it used to be the Watanabe Bakery, so pretty convenient location. And it's the guys, I don't know if anyone remembers V Lounge and Prima Kailua. They're back together and they're doing pizza again. So that's enough to get me in the door.
Now, this place has not been open very long, but it has already captured the attention of, I would say, such a wide variety. I was passing through the kitchen of a very well-known restaurant the other day, and the line cooks were talking about the pizza from here. One of them had taken some time off and run over and brought it back, and they were raving about it. Of course, the V Lounge guys, and I'm sure a lot of people will remember, their reputation for their pizza was outstanding. They were in an awkward location. It wasn't your traditional kind of let's go and have a pizza, until, of course, they opened up in Kailua. But they really do have a style of pizza, I think, that is mouthwateringly delicious.
Yes. They know how to layer flavor, and they know just the right amount of toppings, too, where it's just like this, I can taste everything on the pie. Like, even down to the simple white pie, like, you can taste the different cheeses on there. And they do different styles than they did at V Lounge, too. So even the dough has been improved. This one, they have 2 styles now. It's like a New York style, big 18-inch pizza pies. And then they do square pizzas, like a Sicilian style focaccia pizza. And those are amazing, too. But you got to get the corners.
Yeah, you got to get those crispy bits. Now, sometimes people who make fantastic pizza are a tiny little bit snobby about the pizza. Do you sense that? Or is this like, just have whatever you like. Come and order the pizza however you like it. Or is it like, here's the pizza, we're the Nazi chefs, this is how you're having it? What would you say?
So, yeah, I think that's funny that you mentioned that, because I feel like that's how they were before. Yes. With like V-Lounge and Prima.
That's why I mentioned it.
But today, you can build your own pie. And they're like, they have, you know, a menu of set styles, but you can customize it however you want. You can build your own, add different toppings, do half and half. It's much more people friendly, and you can get the type of pie that you want.
Oh, good. I do like to hear that, because sometimes when people are so good at making something and they really do have it down, they do have a way of making you feel like, oh, I shouldn't order like anchovies. I once asked for anchovies on my pizza, and the person making it just looked at me and went, why would you do that? Because they taste amazing, that's why. Hey, Thomas, I know one thing that I've noticed that these two restaurants, or this restaurant, has in common with another new restaurant that's opened. And yeah. I'm wondering if you're seeing this as a trend. So Papa Kurt's and this restaurant, they both have a similar vibe in that old school kind of menu board, very simple. You know, the kind of like fill in the letters with the little black letters on the board. It's got a nice retro kind of a vibe. Are you seeing that? Am I right? Are those two similar in their vibe of we're simple, we're old school, we're getting back to different values?
Yes, I believe that 100%. And I think it's about these new restaurants are opening in these. You know, both of them opened in Mo'ili'ili, which is a really established neighborhood in Honolulu. And so, you know, like, think the average age of people there is much older. So it makes it more approachable. It makes it more like a place that has kind of, it belongs there, where it's like, oh, this is going to be a legacy kind of restaurant or something that is along the lines of, they're putting their roots down and they're showing the people there like this isn't trendy. This isn't something that is flash in the pan. This is something that we want here to stay.
And I like the sense, too, that they've looked at the buildings they're in and they've taken that as part of their inspiration and the history of who was there before. I love that there's a kind of nod to the past while they're doing something that is different. I mean, I think nobody would say that Mark Noguchi and Chris Kajioka are doing, you know, Simon like people were doing it 30 years ago, but it's still highly recognizable and utterly delicious with a very deep bow to the traditions that they've all come from. So I love that,
absolutely.
Don't you?
Yes, I do too. And I think it strengthens that bond to that community too. You know, if they're telling the story of the people that lived there before and that continue to live there, it just resonates stronger.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. So thinking about people, and if you're missing this, like if you're driving and you're like, where were they just talking about? Don't worry, we'll put it up on our Radio Mojo Hawaii blog site so you can link to all of them later. Thomas, talking of people that we love and we love what they're doing, I love the guys at Artisan, and they are opening Michelle and Wade Uaoka. They have moved, but no one should be distressed because they've not moved too far away, and they've moved actually into a lovely, very accessible restaurant space at Velocity. Have you been to visit them yet?
I did. I just I went on my morning walk earlier this week. I think it was on Tuesday, and I stopped by for breakfast. And it's a fantastic location. It's actually just down the street from my apartment, so it's a little too easy for me to get to. But yeah, they're open all day now for Artisan, and they got breakfast, lunch, dinner, and they're doing wines and takeout and you name it. Kind of a reverb on their MW takeout program they were running almost all of last year due to the shutdown. So you'll find a lot of the classics from the MW menu on there, along with Michelle's award-winning desserts and pastries too.
When you think about chefs who have gone through the past 12 months and who've had to adapt and change and get on with it, and we were talking earlier this morning about people who are just going in every day and keeping on going and doing their thing, I think that these two are a shining example, Michelle and Wade Uoka. They not only weathered, you know, they were kind of on the verge of fine dining restaurant, right? For a lot of people, they were... They were, you know, nice special occasion restaurant. They adapted really quickly. They started a farmer's market right inside their restaurant. And then they've moved to this new location, I hope taking advantage of some good rents from their landlords, who should be very happy to have them there. And at the same time, donated all the kitchen equipment they didn't need. Instead of selling it, they donated it to Kuhuku High School to help their culinary program.
It's so amazing.
You gotta just love them.
I've always felt like they were like the most generous people I've ever met, because all they know how to do is give, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so like it was only natural for them to do that huge donation. But I think that, you know, it comes back to them with the support from the community, and you know, they're just really good people. So I love supporting them too.
Absolutely, they are wonderful people, and you're right, they just do it. It's so second nature to them. They just do it. It's like, of course they're going to give all their kitchen equipment away and not expect anything in return. It's wonderful. They're just great. That's Artisan Restaurant. They have moved to the Velocity building, which is right on the corner of its Ward, and it's really, I mean, people will notice that big car dealership building, I would think. Is that a good way to describe it? Yeah.
Yes,
okay,
Ward and Kapiolani. Yeah.
There you go. Ward and Kapiolani, just by Thomas's house, so which is very important.
You'll find me outside eating cake.
Yeah, and if you want to pick up some of the best pastries in town, Michelle's baked goods are truly unbelievable, and she deserves all the awards that she gets. Where else have you found that you're just excited about and you can't wait to share?
Today I wrote about a new tempura pop-up that is only going to be a month long at Mitsuwa Marketplace in Waikiki. So it's at the International Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to this place in the Waikiki Yokocho that called Kaneko Hanosuke, and they're from Tokyo, and I thought that they had the best tempura I've ever had. Even outside of Tokyo, right here in Honolulu, was really good. But they closed last year because of the pandemic, and the same thing went with all of Waikiki Yokocho. So actually, some of the staff went over and they've started 1010 Hawaii. And so they have the same Honosuke style tempura bowls with like shrimp and maitake mushrooms, tempura egg, and nori. And so I went to go try it on Monday, and it's just as I remember it. It's fantastic.
So, Thomas, what is it that makes it so good? Because I would say we do have examples of really good tempura in traditional Japanese restaurants and also at other restaurants where tempura is definitely something that people here do really well. What is it that's so good about this one?
Their tendon sa. So a tendon is a short Japanese portmanteau word for tempura donburi or tempura bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make a special dipping sauce that they basically pour over everything. It's all over the rice and all over the tempura items. And I think their sauce is one of the best. It's just, it's on the sweeter side, but it's kind of a mix between sweet and savory. And they make it in-house, so it's kind of like they boil kind of like shoyu and bonito flakes and some other things together, and it reduces to this amazing sauce. And you just want to eat every single grain of rice in that bowl because of it.
How amazing. This is in the international marketplace, only for a month. So really, people have got to get down there and try it.
Definitely. And so if they prove to be popular, which we're hoping, they may be able to extend their contract. So if they're popular within the first month, they could be around for a little bit longer.
Now, this is a perfect time for people who don't go into Waikiki too often, because, of course, it's always full of a lot of people. This is a perfect time to go. I mean, Waikiki is just crying out to have local visitors, that all the local restaurants in Waikiki, especially in the food courts, which are quite lonely right now, they need our support. They need our help. So what a fantastic reason to get yourself into Waikiki, to the international marketplace, where I have to say it's very easy to park. It's not, there's no challenges going into Waikiki right now. And Thomas, are they open all day? You know what we'll do, actually? We'll send people to read your story about them. Why don't we send them over to Frolic Hawaii and they can read about it there? Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay, so you can read all of Thomas's wonderful food writing and reviews at Frolic Hawaii. And you can hear him here, well, whenever we can get him, which is once a month we try to, which is really, really good fun. Thomas, it's always lovely to chat with you. That was really fun this morning. There are some really good places and very creative things happening. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I wake up every day and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do next? So it's a very exciting time to be out and about.
We're so glad that you are, and I encourage everybody to follow Thomas on Instagram at Thomas O, or you can find him at Frolic Hawaii. And of course, if you need help with anything to do with marketing your own restaurant, then Thomas and his team at Slug Media are absolutely fabulous. I can absolutely attest to the great work that they do. Well, it's nice to chat with you. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thomas O'Bungan. He is associate editor at Frolic Hawaii. He is the co-owner and founder of Slug Media, and he is our go-to for exciting new local restaurants. How about that one, then? Go and check them out. 1010 Hawaii. They're only popping up for a month. Grab your friend or two and head down to Waikiki. All right, we better go for a very short break. When we come back, we're going to take you over to the Gold Coast of Hawaii and chat to Chef Hardy from Michelle. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran. We bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii every Thursday morning, plus a little bit of sports thrown in. And this morning we're talking about some new restaurants opening and some wonderfully, wonderfully legendary restaurants that have reopened. One of those, of course, is situated on Hawaii's Gold Coast, one of the most beautiful restaurant locations in the state. It is, of course, Michelle's at the Colony Surf. And the longtime executive chef, Chef Eberhard Kinscher, commonly known to all of us as Chef Hardy, is joining us this morning. Hello, Hardy. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Yes. Same here.
Chef, we were talking this morning about it's almost coming up to a year since, you know, the restaurants were all, everybody was told to close down. I'm wondering, how did you manage in the beginning? I mean, fine dining is a very unique kind of restaurant operation. How was it in the beginning, and how are you now? Because I'm happy to say that you guys are open.
Well, we never really closed down. So, you know, we stayed open for the takeout business. And, of course, that was a big challenge for me because, you know, all of a sudden I found myself by myself in the kitchen and, you know, doing all the takeout orders. So that's what we did. And then with the reopening of the restaurants, you know, of course, we opened, we brought the staff back. And, you know, we are, I want to say, fairly busy, you know, for the amount of visitors coming to Hawaii. You know, we are definitely getting busier by the week. So,
Hardy, I'm really interested to hear, how did you adapt? I mean, the menu at Michelle's, for anyone who's been, you know, it's a stunning menu. It's beautifully prepared. You have multiple courses if people want to have a chef's tasting menu. How did you sit down and adapt a menu that was going to be able to fit into styrofoam boxes and be taken into people's cars and go home. That must have taken a lot of thought.
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, pretty much, you know, we do what we are doing. You know, we have the base for all the food by making the sauces and stocks all from scratch. And, you know, and basically it's just, you know, repacking the food into a different container, you know. So it was not really a big deal. But, you know, at the same time, we wanted to make it a little bit attractive by also, you know, featuring some low-cost items that we're still featuring right now. We're still serving hamburgers, and we do, you know, cream of mushroom soup. So some affordable items on the menu. But, so it went well, and we are still continue doing it right now.
Tell people who probably have not, or who have not yet tasted it, tell us a bit about your burger, because your burger is on the menu. It is, as you say, very affordable, and it's utterly delicious, but it's uniquely yours. So tell us about your burger.
Well, you know, hamburgers, I mean, you can go all crazy by, you know, going all overboard, but I think, you know, what you need to do is, first of all, have, you know, the best meat, what is a grass-fed, 100% grass-fed meat that I'm using. And then we use a Gruyere cheese, we use sauteed onions, we use a bun here baked locally by my friend on King Street, Daily Bread. And then it's just a matter of, like, putting it all together and, you know, and cooking it the right way. So that's what it is. And then, you know, people seem to be very happy because we're getting very good comments on our burger. And of course, you know, the burger is a generous meat patty. You know, we're not being skimpy. We give like 8 ounces of meat on the burger. So that's almost enough for two people to share a burger.
It really is. It's a yeah. Delicious burger. And I would say that you are generous with all of your portions, actually, at Michelle's and with your takeouts. I know that on your website you even say that to people, that these are generous portions, which most people are not used to. You know, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite dishes. We were talking about this over the holidays because I think it's quite a challenging dish. It's not the most challenging dish in the kitchen, but it's quite challenging. And with your European background, I know you probably learned to make this when you were about 12 or something, but it's something that you guys do every day. I am, of course, talking about beef Wellington. You have your signature beef Wellington, which is not just with the finest beef, but also with, is it chicken, a chicken liver mousse as well?
Yeah, I'm doing a foie gras mousse, where we add a little bit of a white chicken breast to it when we make the mousse to keep it, you know, light. And you cannot just go straight foie gras. It would be too rich and not really, you know, good. So we have a recipe where we use a chicken breast, fresh foie gras, and make it into a mousse. And then the secret of, you know, seasoning the Wellington is, you know, kind of like my own spice mix that I put on the meat. And then it's all wrapped in thin puff pastry. And then it's also a matter of, you know, cooking it the right way at the right temperature and letting the meat rest. And then, of course, the sauces to accomplish the final dish is sauce Cumberland, what is really an English sauce that I learned long time ago back in Germany. And then we do a truffle Madeira sauce with it, and the grilled asparagus and mashed potato. And, you know, that's a very nice dish. I enjoy
it. Yeah, it's a lovely dish. How challenging would you say a beef Wellington is? On, like, when your cooks are coming in and starting in the kitchen, how long does it take them to get to the level where they can actually prepare a Wellington?
Well, it takes a couple of years of experience, just, you know, being a chef. That's something, you know, everybody is different. You know, you're going to have some cooks that pretty much pick up everything within a year or two. And then you have some people, you know, they're just coming in, you know, they're good cooks, but they're in their zone, and, you know, and that's what they do. And to throw something new at them is always going to be a bit more challenging. So you cannot really give a timeline on that. Everybody's different.
It is a challenge. It is a challenge. And you do
it's a challenge
so
because Because, fabulous, you know, when you make it, it depends on how many Wellingtons are you going to make. You're going to make 10 or you're going to make 20. How much mousse do you need? How much puff pastry? And, you know, that takes a little bit expertise. You know, we when we do the cooking, when you're a seasoned, older chef, you know, you don't really measure out a lot of things like when you follow a cookbook because you cook for, you know, for the demand, you know. How many people are you cooking for? That makes all the difference. That changes the recipe 100%. So,
we're talking with Chef Hardy. He is, of course, the executive chef of Michelle's on the beautiful Gold Coast of Hawaii, where he's had that gorgeous beach view for how many years have you been there now, Hardy?
I've been there, I think it's getting close to be 22 years.
Wow.
22 years, yeah, I know the time went by fast, but, you know, I have to say, I just love the restaurant. I love the setting, coming in there every day. You know, it's you cannot beat it. It's the most beautiful location, and I'm working all with good people. You know, I'm working there with Philip for 22 years, our general manager, and we really got a good thing going there. So I'm very happy.
It is one of the most beautifully colored places you will ever see, isn't it? I mean, every minute of the day, the sun shining into the dining room changes, the colors change. It is, it's a beautiful environment. It really
is
lovely.
You know, and we have the restaurant just remodeled about a year ago, so we have all new carpets, and now, you know, a lot of people really enjoy it, even that the tables are a little bit further apart. And the only thing what we are not doing right now is a little bit of we cut back on the table side service. So we're doing the Caesar salad and we're doing the lobster bisque, but, you know, some of the dishes that we did in the past, because of the social distancing, you know, we kind of took that off the menu. For example, the steak Diane was one of our signature dishes. We did before the duck alone launch, also table side. We had a lot of table side dishes, but, you know, they want to come back. You know, I'm very positive about that.
Yes, they have to come back. We need someone doing these very classic table sides. Chef, how can people come and make reservations? You're open now for dinner. Right, for dining in dinner from 5 o'clock, right?
Okay. Right, we open up at 5 o'clock, but again, you know, because of the tables apart, you know, we can really only do about 70 or 80 dinners. What we are doing currently, so it's good to make reservations far ahead, I would say. And the number to call would be the 923-6552. What is our reservation line, and then that would be like in the afternoon by 2:30, the phones are being answered. And we are also booking parties again. You know, we had the first few parties coming in with 25 people where they put them in the banquet room, what is a beautiful attached room in our dining room. And
So we're almost back to normal. We're all hoping, of course, that we will be back to normal. Restaurants open very, very soon, and we're just hoping that we hear that news without too much delay. I want to remind everyone, too, that you really can take advantage of ordering online and take out from Chef Hardy. And if you've never tried Chef Hardy's burger, then I'm highly recommending it to you, as well as all of the other amazing things that are on the Michelle's menu. And if you've missed during this entire 11 months without many of our fine dining restaurants, if you've missed the service and the beauty of being somewhere exceptional, there is nowhere more gorgeous than Michelle's. Give them a call, make a reservation, and go and treat yourself to something very special for dinner. Chef Hardy, it is always lovely to talk to you. I just love it when we get some time to catch up. Thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Good hearing your voice.
You too. Take care. Chef Hardy, Eberhard Kintscher, who is executive chef at Michelle's at the Colony Surf. Go check him out online. Michelle's, I think it's Michelle's at colonysurf.com. You can easily find them. They're the only Michelle's. The menus are up online. You can even see pictures of the new dining room. It's utterly, utterly gorgeous. So go and check all of that out. We're going to go for a really short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry. plus Bobby Curran. We're here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. I love talking to Chef Hardy. You know, he is, and I know you're very fond of him as well. He's a lovely personality, but he's a classically trained, he's a German-born, German-trained chef, trained in the French classical style. So he does all of the European French style sauces every day from scratch. And I tell you, once you have all of that stuff down, you can do anything. His cooking is just, it's just beautiful. And not too many people cook that way anymore, so it's lovely to have him there. Anyway, speaking about eating and events and things. Now, here's an interesting thing. Events that we would normally be going to as big fundraisers have shifted to online, obviously.
Right.
And I wondered if you might tell me a little bit more about the Grand Slam online celebration.
Well, as you know, that was such an unbelievably good fundraiser with all the restaurants participating. And, you know, and I think a lot of people really look forward to that. They'd have the whole baseball team there. They'd introduce everybody.
Yep, it was nice.
And so it was a really, really kind of nice, warm event.
Yes, and well, people really enjoyed being there and seeing all the players.
I think they wanted to try to see what they could do because it has to be an online thing, a Zoom kind of thing this year. And so it's not going to be the same exactly, but I still think it will be terrific because they've actually done a couple of things. For example, they're going to have a Q&A online on the Zoom with Colton Wong, who is just starting a new deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. Just did a very heartfelt thing to the Cardinal fans.
Aww.
They're open. Milwaukee's opening at St. Louis. I guarantee the response for him. He's a popular player in St. Louis anyway. And he, no hard feeling or anything, just grateful and all that. He will get a standing ovation.
Oh, nice. So he's going to be guest of honor online.
Not a guest of honor. I don't think they're billing it, but they're going to be, he'll be available for, an interesting guest, and he'll do a Q&A. So people who get involved in this, if they're online, and what they're doing is they're going to, you know, they sell tables for $1,250 bucks. Well, now they're giving a link for 10. You can buy a link for 10 for $500 bucks.
Okay.
So that's what, then you can give that out to your 9 of your friends.
Right.
Who can all get online and participate in this thing. So it, I think it's a great idea. It's going to be fun.
So but you're participating by bidding on online, obviously. Is there an auction?
I don't even know if there is an auction. That's a good question, and I'm having Trapp on the show tomorrow, and he's going to lay all this stuff out.
Okay,
I just
great.
Got a little
bit. What time is that then? We'll let everyone
It'll
know.
Be on 5. It's 5 p.m. to 7
p.m. No, I meant what time is Trapp coming on the show?
Trapp is coming on at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay, perfect. So
the Zoom will be 5 to 7 on Saturday.
On Saturday. And now a lot of the Zoom calls, a lot of the fundraisers now are doing eating and drinking is part of it. So you get your ticket and then you'll get a discount at a certain restaurant to go and order your own takeout, bring it home, have a certain wine. Like I'm doing one on next Thursday. And there's going to be a sommelier online, and there's a special deal at a certain restaurant. You go and buy your food. So I wonder if they're doing that as part of it.
Listen, we'll find out exactly what's going on tomorrow from Coach Trapp at 7:30 in the morning. So I'm looking forward to hearing all the details. But
I'm looking forward to that, too, because obviously he knows more than you do about it. So that's perfect.
Well, I hope so. It's his event.
No, I'm really excited about it because some of these online events have turned out to be really spectacular. And I think this one sounds like it will be really good, especially for the fans who are missing that kind of interaction, nobody's able to really go to call the coach anymore. There's all of those things that they're missing that were a big part. If you're a real diehard Hawaii fan, they're the things that are a big part of your season.
I got to just share this story with you because I was seeing some of my hardcore audience for Call the Coach at the outside the Stan Sheriff Center. No fans can come. Now, these people can't come to the games, and they're the hardcores.
Yeah.
They come to bring food for the team after the game.
Are you serious?
I pull up, and it's a lot of people. You know some of them, and so it's, it's Mike and Val and a whole bunch of other people that you'd be familiar with.
The Boosters.
Yeah, and they come down, even though they can't, as much as they love to come in, they can't get into the game, but they come down with the whole thing in the pickup truck, and all packed up, and then they deliver it into the Stan Sheriff Center to a room where the team can have meals together after the game.
That's so nice.
I just thought, wow, those people, they are above and beyond.
Well, see, I think that's exactly the group of people I'm talking about, people who really live for not just seeing the players in action, not just being part of University of Hawaii sports, but the whole sideline part of it, as it were, call the coach, and these kind of fundraisers, which are always such a huge success. So I'm sure this is going to be a really successful one online. We'll look forward to hearing Trapp talking about it tomorrow. And I bet you, I'm pretty sure they'll have some kind of element of eating and drinking with it. Well, they might not, but they might. Anyway, the auction is always good. Let's hope we have that. Otherwise, we've just made up for them. So I'm sure it's going to be very exciting when they come on tomorrow. Who else have you got tomorrow? Why don't we plug your own show for you?
Well, we're going to have John Montgomery joining us.
Yes.
And that'll be great because he has the scout. So there's always a coach that does. And, I mean, people say, oh, the scout, oh, that's nice. What is that? I'm telling you, by the time that coach has finished prepping, they know every single play, every single offensive set and defensive set that team has used, every out-of-bounds play, what they call it, how they signal it. It's crazy. I mean, they know as much. It's like they could be a coach on the other team. Mm-hmm. It's nuts how much they know. But here's the trick. The trick is to distill that information, so to avoid a data dump by getting it down and telling the players in an entertaining, limited way so they can utilize it.
Awesome. Sounds great. That'll be tomorrow morning on the Bobby Curran Show. Thank you, Bobby, for being with us this morning. That was fun.
Yep.
Thank you to both of our guests, Thomas Obungan. You can read all about Thomas later on this morning on our website and at Frolic Hawaii. And, of course, thanks to Chef Hardy from Michelle's. I'm Joe McGarry. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazier's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.